Blog Talk Radio.
All right, it's party time, party time, party time, party time. NFL Sunday, we're close to baseball playoffs, and we are, and my favorite time of the year, the NBA.
Okay, so we learned that.
We learned that Dallas can actually finish a game.
No, that's just it was
and win over Carolina.
Dallas and Sons of Cam Newton. Don't you start talking. Don't you start talking crazy on me now.
We also learned that while Houston may not be the best team in the NFL, they are by far the best team in the AFC. Throttled Baltimore today, 43-13.
Okay, I'll go with it.
And as we also learned, the Giants, as much as I love them, can get on my last effing nerve if they don't do things the way I want them to do them.
Okay. Sounds good. You know, seriously, dude, you know, I, as much as I love you in a very manly way, I think it's safe to say that the one thing that we learned today about the Dallas Cowboys is that they can't make it easy on themselves. They have to go down to the last play of the game. Agree or disagree?
Oh, I completely agree with you. Well, who do you think is to blame for this?
Oh, you.
Me?
By the way, Maurice Jones drew out and injured versus the Raiders today.
By the way, good call on that game. No one said for you.
Yeah, come on, I got 6 minutes and 52 seconds for Oakland to throw a touchdown pass.
Hey, you know what? That game was getting out of hand for a while, so the fact that it's actually only a touchdown game, I'm actually, like, surprised. I mean, that game was a blowout for a long time. Now it's getting close.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And, of course, let's recap, shall we, what we've learned today in the NFL. We have learned that the San Francisco 49ers have quarterback issues. It is they beat Seattle Thursday night 13-6. We learned that the Dallas Cowboys, like we said before, can't make it easy. Romo and company sneak by 19-14, goes all the way down to the last play. For those who are listening, and if you want to chime in, 760-283-0846, Jose was giving me play-by-play on the New Orleans-Tampa Bay ending, and listening to him play-by-play is probably one of the funniest things in the world. I wish I was able to record it. I'm wishing we could put it on our Facebook page so everyone can hear it, because it was damn funny.
Let me ask you this, though. It was funny. Did you enjoy it, at least?
It was damn funny.
That doesn't mean you enjoyed it.
It was damn funny.
But it was spot on, though. You have to see that. It was spot on.
Take it for what it's worth. We also learned that the Arizona Cardinals are starting to come back down to mediocrity as the Minnesota Vikings beat them 21-14. Green Bay over St. Louis by 10-30-20. And the Cleveland Browns 17-13. The game we spoke about earlier, the New York Giants defeated the Washington Redskins 27-23. And the Tennessee Titans over the Buffalo Bills 35-34. That's your nail biter of the week right there. 35-34.
Oh God. Let me if I can, just want to go back to that San Francisco game for a second. Tell me if you agree with me on this, friend. Harbaugh is looking for a reason to put Colin Kaepernick in there to be a starting quarterback.
I think Alex Smith should have caught on to what was going on when they were asking Peyton Manning to come to San Francisco.
I totally agree with you there. Yeah, I
wow.
Definitely agree with you on that.
Should I call hell and see what the weather is out there? Is it cold?
No, I completely agree, though. I mean, as Tom Brady almost threw an interception. But I completely agree with you. They know what they have in Alex Smith. I actually think they like Kaepernick a lot better than Alex Smith, but they're just not willing to hand him the rings just yet.
I yet again intend to agree with you. This is scary. Alex Smith, here's my problem with Alex Smith. He's a safe quarterback. He had his coming out party last year. But because of the way he's playing right now, makes you feel that last year was a mirage.
Oh, yeah. You know what it is? Alex Smith basically was a guy who was overdrafted. It basically came down to him and Aaron Rodgers, and San Francisco botched it. They missed it. And right now, if San Francisco had Aaron Rodgers, we probably would have seen San Francisco win a couple of titles now with the defense they have.
Really quickly, can I just throw out one more quick headline here? We have David Magano calling in about 5 minutes to join us to talk a little NFL. We're going to make sure we get on this topic. But Brian Cashman came out and basically said A-Rod is no longer untouchable. We're going to touch baseball in a little 2 minutes. David Magano will be here on. David Magano will be live with us in about 5 minutes. We'll be able to get him going. He's patiently waiting on the line right now. Some other quick headlines. Boy, it's really not easy being a big man and for the New York Knicks in New York. Amari Stoudemire out 2 to 3 weeks with a cyst in his knee. It just doesn't seem to work for him in New York. I think if he was a warm winter.
You know, I just actually saw that like 10 minutes ago. Haven't really had a chance to really look at that yet, but that is going to be – that's one of those things, depending on the kind of Knicks fan you are, you're either going to think like, well, you know what, this is going to be bad because we want to see him and Melo together. For other people, they might think, you know what, it doesn't work anyway with the both of them on the court. Maybe this will help get the team, you know, going, you know, and then try to slowly bring back Stoudemire. I personally feel that if he's not out there, this is not going to help the Knicks whatsoever. It's a big blow for them. Even though it's relatively a short amount of time for something like that, I think any time you miss is just going to hinder the process.
Okay, and really quickly also, great tweet by Ryan Rucco of 1050 ESPN Radio and the Yes Network. He says, Jets D has delivered all day. Can Sanchez pull an Eli?
No, probably not. But hey,
I think this is how we should start our show. What we'll do is I'll log on to Twitter and I'll just let you know what famous people are saying. Like for example, Rich Eisen from the NFL Network just right now, booing in New England as the New York Jets take over at 0-35 yard line with 4:19 left, down 3, chance to tie, maybe win. Game day highlights right after. So not only is he poking the eye of New England fans and giving the Jets fans hope, but he's in here promoting himself at the end of the tweet.
Hey, no one does it better than Rich Eisen, man. He's the man.
He is pure genius. I love this man.
Real fast, also, just to add this on as well, being reported on Twitter, so Randy, Twitter, just so you know, you'd be proud of me. Redskins tight end Fred Davis out for the season with a left Achilles tear, as reported by Adam Schefter right now. So that's not good for Washington.
Oh, I also have some other breaking news. The 25th hour score, my soundtrack of NYC, the great Terrence Blanchard. That was from Spike Lee. So it had nothing to do with sports, but it was the first one that showed up on my Twitter page. So we'll keep an eye on that too. Also, really quickly, with all joking aside, with some more NFL news for the Jet game, Sean Green taken to the locker room with a head injury. I think our next guest, David Magano. David, you might have to put on some pads and play for the Jets if you know. By the way, I want to let you know, Tim Tebow jerseys are one of the top selling jerseys in all of the NFL. Tebow jerseys, it's authentic jerseys. Authentic Jet jerseys come with authentic tears inside of them. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not, but Tebow is going to sell jerseys because of who he is. Doesn't matter if you can't play.
I understand. He's barely been on the field today. That Sanchez guy, it's like, what does that tell you about your team when your backup quarterback outsells your starting quarterback? What does that tell you?
Most of the starting players in the NFL. I mean, he's one of the more polarizing players we're probably ever going to see. You either love him or you hate him. Not many people are in between. And, you know, not even trying to talk crap, just being truthfully honest, a lot of Christians and a lot of Tim Tebow supporters want to show the support because everyone knows that he is not a football player. They know that he really does not deserve to be on the field. And I am very inclined to say that Tim Tebow is on any team right now because of who he is, not because of what he brings.
All right. I think we just changed topics now. I think you just pretty much said it all. I have really nothing to add to that. Jose?
All right, Tebow. I don't believe that, but listen, everyone definitely has the right to their opinion. I do think that if Tebow was using the right situation, I think he would bring something to a team. I just don't think the Jets are that team.
Is it me or is Rex Ryan, like, I'm just look over to the screen. Like, Rex Ryan, I think, if you compare Bill Belichick to Rex Ryan, are there two more polar opposites as far as coaches are concerned?
As far as what's concerned?
As far as, like, the parallel of styles. Like, Belichick is the guy who looks like an unmade bed on the sidelines, and he's, like, a genius. He probably has, like, a little fortress in the stadium where he draws up his game plans. And Rex Ryan is the guy who shows up wearing a little sweater vest every single week, and he does all the radio interviews. Like, if you listen to Belichick's interviews during the week, they schedule him on his radio show, but they don't. He doesn't say anything. Like, yeah, we have a game this week. You should definitely come out to the stadium to come out and watch us. And we have this guy Brady who's been here with us for a little bit, and then we also have this guy Gronkowski, and he dances when he's hurt and stuff like that at the Super Bowl. That's pretty much.
Oh, that's a bad drop. If anybody's watching this game, Stephen Hodges hit a bad drop.
And we've also just established the fault, the bad thing about radio and internet radio when we start to talk about what we're all watching on television, because nobody knows what we're talking about. So we all just said, dropped it. Okay. Guys, let's get on track and let's talk about what we saw today.
I'm sorry, I'm going to cut you off. But really, really, really quick, going on to your point of the Rex Ryan Bill Belichick.
Yes.
Just really quick about that, I agree, and I think it's fair to say right now that Rex Ryan has been all bark and no bite, while Bill Belichick, whatever you think of him, if you think he's a cheater with Spygate, whatever you want to say, and if you don't know what we're talking about, the Jets just tied the game at 23 against the Patriots with 2 minutes left for Brady to go back down the field. But anyway, Bill Belichick does not need to say things. He does not want to say things. Rex Ryan is really more about making a name for himself in the media. Bill Belichick is making a name for himself on the field.
I want to bring this point up, too, about the Jets fans. And Jose, you have a lot of friends that are Jets fans. David, I'm assuming you have friends that are Jets fans. I know people who like the Jets. If they lose this game, if you're a Jets fan, do you expect to lose a game like this? At this point, with the final 2 minutes, you're tied with the Patriots at 23. I'm not making fun of them. I'm not sticking my thumb in their eye or anything like that. I'm just making the point. I'm like, this is the type of game that the Jets usually blow.
Well, let's be fair, Randy, though. Be serious. I'm sure if you ask any Jet fan, if you told them that this was going to be the situation they have right now with 2 minutes to go, I think every Jet fan would have taken this because, as far as we knew, the Jets were going to get blown out in this game.
You and I said it on Friday night when we did the show Friday night. You and I were expecting the Patriots to throw up about 35, 40 points, and the Jets to maybe score 10, 15 points. This is when Sarah was on with us, the three of us sat there. We all
fumble. Jets game fumble.
And we all agreed.
Sorry to interrupt you. Jets game fumble.
Wow.
Jets recover the ball inside the 20.
Wow, that's crazy.
Wow, this live, folks. This is how we do it over here. We give it to you live and on computer radio.
I never thought I'd miss our morning show more than I miss it right now. Because right now we're like three kids who just can't focus, and it's pretty funny because I'm watching the TV too. I'm like, wow, we fumbled. it's crazy.
Agree 100% with Jose.
What happened?
About that?
I'm sorry, I said to say I was going to agree 100% with what Jose said. I think, at this point, especially now, obviously taking into account what we just saw, but at this point, you're saying, we're 2 minutes to go, Tom Brady is about to get the ball back, we're probably not going to win this game. But the idea that you're even tied or even close to this game, I think the Jets fans would take, if I'm a Jets fan, I would take that. You're missing Darrelle Revis, obviously. You would think the Patriots are going to pass all day, and the Patriots, they're starting to run the ball a lot more. I'm not really sure why, with all the weapons they have, but their game plan.
Sanchez just went out to the receiver spot, and Tebow took the ball. So that's the first real touch of the ball Tebow had today. Really quick, David.
Well, the Jets are going for a field goal here. They're not going for a touchdown. They don't want. They're honestly. They want to. I can honestly say, at least I would assume, they're trying to keep the ball to Sanchez's hands. I don't think they want to give Sanchez a chance to turn the ball over.
David, I got to ask you about RG3 and Eli Manning today. What did you see from that?
Well, I saw what I think anybody could expect of them this far into the season. I mean, you saw two quarterbacks. You know, there was some shoddy play, but I think both of them played as well as you expect him to play. RG3 had a lot of rushing yards. He had a lot of decent passing game, not great. Obviously, I heard you guys are Fred Davis went out with an Achilles problem for the rest of the year. But RG3 played the way he plays. Then you have Eli Manning, who kind of does what he does, where he comes out, throws for a bunch of yards, throws for two early touchdowns, and then somehow, some way, in the fourth quarter, he makes it happen. This time it was with a long play to Victor Cruz, which, you know, can you count on that more often than not? No. But somehow it comes together. Somehow Victor Cruz seems to always break a long touchdown run for a game-winning touchdown that Eli Manning somehow happened to just get off in time. And, I mean, it really was what you expected to see from both sides. I think many people thought the Giants were going to win. But it really, you know, as Dennis Green would say, you know, both guys were who we thought they were.
So, Dave, let me ask you this, getting back to the just one more thing on this Washington Giant game. How impressed were you with Alfred Morris? This guy seems to just come out of nowhere, low school Florida Atlantic, and seems to now be carving up the NFL. What are your thoughts on Alfred Morris?
I am really upset myself and Alfred Morris because I had him on many fantasy teams. I actually picked him up after week two in the preseason before many people got in tune with him because Shanahan gave him a start in week two of preseason. I was like, you know what, let me just give him a shot. After week one, he breaks off the 100 yards and I trade him, just thinking Shanahan's going to run away with him. But you know what? Alfred Morris has taken this job. He's not a superior athletic ability running back. He's not a Chris Johnson type speed. He's not Adrian Peterson type power, but what he is he runs angry. And watching his games, especially in the preseason and in the early season, regular season games, he seems to never, ever lose yardage. This guy, hello?
Yeah,
hello? I got a ring.
Yeah, so do I. I'm not sure what that is. You still there, Dave?
I'm here. So anyway, the one thing about Alfred Morris is that he seems to never lose yards. He's always running forward. He's always keeping his legs moving. He's always getting positive yardage. And that's the best thing about him. He's going to get a lot of touches in Shanahan, with Shanahan in this offense. He's going to get 20 touches a game with all the other running back issues. So you know what? He is a guy that could be like a Terrell Davis type player, where he's not the most athletic guy on the field. But you know what? Mike Shanahan, if there's one thing he's proven throughout the years, is he can make a productive running back out of a less talented guy. And that's exactly what's happening now. And I honestly don't see any reason why Alfred Morris should slow down the rest of the way.
Now, another game I just want to hit real fast on because we're gonna be cutting off to our basketball show in a few. But what were your thoughts today? Because I'm sure you have a lot of them on that Tennessee-Buffalo game, especially with Chris Johnson finally deciding to actually come out and play. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm sure you're extremely happy with that after your Denarius Thomas trade. You know,
well, yeah, not to brag, but yeah.
the thing about Chris Johnson and this whole situation is that, you know, I'm still not sold on it. He's had a couple good games now in a row, and you know, 3 out of 4 weeks. But the Buffalo defense is without a doubt the worst defense in the league. I think if there was any game that Chris Johnson was going to explode, it was going to be this one. And I want to see, and I'm not sure who they play next week. They actually could be on a bye for all I know. No, they're not on a bye. I'm sorry. I know they play somebody, but I'm just not sure who. I want to see how he comes out next week. This Buffalo defense has been carved up by every running back that has played them. Their defense, Tennessee's defense, is no better. That's why you saw C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson both have some very, very, very good games here. Again, that was another game where exactly.
We have to switch over now to our NBA thing right now, so I do apologize for cutting you short, but I'm sure we'll get back to you next week. And listen, have a great rest of your football Sunday, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right, bud. Talk to you later.
Take care, Dave.
Right now we want to switch over to NBA and joined by the legendary Mike Fratello. Mike, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Mike, you know, what an NBA offseason we had. You know, Randy Zelia, Jose Pinheiro, Real Sports Talk Radio. Mike, I got to tell you, the Miami Heat go into the offseason as the NBA champions, but they still had flaws. They did not really address the point guard and centers situation that they had. Do you feel that they're still a favorite to repeat, even though they really didn't address their issues?
Obviously, injuries determine a lot of what goes on during an NBA season, but if they remain healthy, if their key components remain relatively injury-free during the season, why shouldn't they be the favorites? They're young in spots they have to be young at. They have bolstered those positions. You know, they try to do it with depth in certain spots, whereas they may not have gone out and got a premier free agent to fill the gap in either the center spot or the point guard position, but they can do it with depth. They can do it with the fact that Wade and LeBron both are players that handle the ball so much. Go back to the Chicago Bulls days. Their point guards never were really penetrating bullet point guards. They were more spot-up shooters that they had to have at that spot so that Michael and Scottie could create off the dribble. So, you know, Miami's just doing it a different way.
Staying okay with the Heat, they got past the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals. The Celtics lost Ray Allen to Miami, but they added a lot more pieces and a lot more depth. Are the Celtics really the only really team in the East that they can really knock off Miami if fully healthy?
No. I mean, you look at that Atlantic division. It's an incredibly tough division. I think the Atlantic division is the toughest in the NBA this year. When you talk about what Philadelphia has done to their roster, then you have Boston, you have New York, you have Brooklyn. Those teams are good basketball teams, okay, with depth, and they have, you know, they have star players that can step up and take over a game. So, again, go back. One injury sometimes is the difference between winning a championship and losing a championship, and I think there are other teams in the East that certainly can give Miami a run for their money. They've added pieces to their teams that have turned them around. Look at, I mean, the Nets had quite a roster readjustment. You get Deron Williams to say, you sign Gerald Wallace back again, and you go out and get a Joe Johnson. You have a healthy Brook Lopez. That's a pretty darn good starting group that they have there in New Jersey.
Mike, switching around the Eastern Conference, too, besides Brooklyn, who else had the best offseason?
Well, I like what Boston did, you know, because there's a money situation there that Danny Ainge had to, you know, work within the parameters of what was going on financially. And the team he's put together now, you mentioned a little while ago there, when they get Avery Bradley back again, if Miletic can remain healthy, they're going to be a very, very interesting team. I watched them, or I had their game the other night against Brooklyn, and they they're good. I mean, Doc has been concerned that defensively they're not as far along as they were the past four or five seasons, but that'll come. They'll get better defensively, anchored by Kevin Garnett. But they brought in Tate, Jason Terry, who certainly can put points on the board. They replace Ray Allen shooting with Jason Terry. Courtney Lee did a very, very good job for them in the game the other night. Another guy who can make shots, get out and run to help get some easy baskets. So I like what Boston's done. I think Danny Ainge has done a very good job.
Hey, Mike, with all the turnover that has gone on in the East, is there a team that we're not expecting that could possibly make a run at a playoff spot and even do some damage?
Well, I think in the East, the big thing is that what's going to happen with the spots that Orlando and Atlanta occupied last year? You know, both of those teams were playoff teams. Both of those teams a year ago could have done damage, and now both of them have lost key components to those teams. So how good will they be? How much damage can they do? Or do you look at it like, okay, there's two openings for somebody to move in and take over a playoff spot that didn't get in a year ago? You know, is Milwaukee good enough to make that spot? Those are all things that you'll look at right now. But I think in the East, the ones that you've got to be concerned about. Indiana showed at the end of the year last year that they were a young team that was good enough to do some damage. The four out of the five that I mentioned in the Atlantic Division, those are all the ones that you need to watch as far as who might compete against Miami.
Mike, a quick question about the Chicago Bulls. Derrick Rose's injury, and they lost some key components this year. Can they still be competing for the Eastern Conference crown once they get D. Rose back with this group that they have?
You know, they're really good in the other positions. And it's just that Derrick Rose was so dynamic and it was such a great player. To lose a piece like that, it's hard to replace that kind of a guy because he can take over a game at any moment. The defenses are constantly trying to figure out, okay, what do we do to stop this guy? But the other four starters, you know, are really good. And if they can remain healthy in the other positions, they'll give people, they're going to come up with a heck of a season. And who knows when Derrick Rose is coming back again. We all root for him to come back. We'd like him to come back and be as healthy as he was. I don't know, you know, if he's ready to come back this season. Maybe it takes a whole year of him rehabbing to get back to where he was. But you're talking about a very special player who also is a very special person. I mean, you root for those kind of guys to have success. You root for them to do well.
Mike, I'm going to have two more quick questions for you. You've been an NBA coach and a broadcaster. How does one help the other as, you know, the transition from a coach to a broadcaster and a broadcaster back to a coach?
Well, the obvious is that if you had been in coaching, you've been in situations, you've had to make adjustments, you've had to plan ahead. You look at the game, you evaluate what might need to change, what might need to be done, and that's all part of your coaching background. So then when you go into broadcasting, you fall back on that and use that to hopefully, you know, help you analyze the game and let the people at home, you know, see the game the way you see it and think the game the way you think it and hope that it, you know, helps them get a better picture of what's going on.
And the last question, Mike, this year marks the 10-year anniversary of the death of Drazen Petrović. You had a relationship with him. Can you talk about what kind of player he was and what kind of person he was?
Well, Drazen Petrović, we're talking about a special guy, really a special, special guy. And he had a zest, you know, for the game. And it's so important to have players on the team who truly love the game, love to play the game, love going to practice every day. And that's what Drazen was all about. And it took him a while. If you understood really what he was all about in his native country and how big a star he legitimately was back then during those times, and then to transition over and try and make it in the NBA was a very, very difficult time for him because he was a legend in Europe as a scorer, as a player. Then he comes to the United States and he's not playing at first. But eventually, you know, after the Portland stay, moving on over to New Jersey, when he got to Jersey where the Nets were at that time, that's when people started to see how good a player he really was, and his zest came back for the game once again, and we lost really a great person and a great player when he died in that auto accident.
Mike, thank you very much for your time. I know you've been traveling. Good luck this season with the Yes and the Brooklyn Nets, and we'll talk to you down the line.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, Mike.
Thank you.
The great Mike Fratello. Jose, there's lots to react to there. You know, Mike just got off the plane, and it was very nice of him to come on with us. I do think what he says is true. You know, one injury can really define everything for a team. The LeBron James situation, and I know you're very hard on me about the whole, you know, LeBron hating situation. Like, I wasn't a huge fan because I want to see him develop, because he was given this title. He was given this title of the chosen one. And I think that's what really rubbed people the wrong way about LeBron, is we're making him out to be this, you know, Jordan-like person at the age of 19, 20, 21 years old. Jordan didn't win his first championship until he was 29, 30 years old.
Yeah, you know what it is, though, to me? I don't think anyone ever had a problem with him until the whole decision fiasco. That's when I think people started to get rubbed the wrong way. Because I tell you right now, you never heard anyone speak an ill word of LeBron James, you know, up until that point. So I don't think – I actually – to me personally, it's not that the whole thing about being the chosen one. I think we all saw the talent. I just think when – once the decision became a part of our lives, I think that's when people started to have these ill words of LeBron. So I think that's where we differ on when he was being hated on.
And I also think he made such a very good point, too, with as far as injuries are concerned. One injury to the Celtics, and I think that's one of the things that really impressed me about the moves that Danny Ainge made also. If you look at the moves that Danny Ainge made, he's preparing himself for injuries.
Well, I understand what you're saying by that. I'm not as sold. And like I said, I'm not going to tell you that I know everything that's going on with that roster, because I don't. But I just don't understand. I don't see how if you're preparing for that sort of thing to happen, I don't see the guy that's going to come in for Rajon Rondo, who I think is probably the most important player on that team.
I agree. I agree that Rondo is the most important player on the team, and I like Rondo. I like his game. As a person, I think he's a feisty, and I think he's a little he's a little difficult to deal with at times. I think overall, as a player, I think he's the best point guard in the NBA.
Rondo's one of those guys that just came out of nowhere. Like I said, I watched a lot of college basketball. I knew of him. I knew he was a good player, but I don't think anyone could tell you with a straight face that they ever thought he was going to become the player that he has become.
No, certainly not. And also the most important thing about Rajon Rondo, too, is if you look where, we all said when the Celtics depleted their roster to get Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen, and they said, well, who's going to be their starting point guard? Because remember, we all said the same thing. We're all like, they have the big thing. Who are they putting around them? And we're like, Kendrick Perkins. Okay, who's Kendrick Perkins? Okay, your starting point guard is going to be Rajon Rondo. Okay, who's Rajon Rondo? Apparently, I think with any type of players where you have a situation where, where you have, we have that situation where you have a core group. Eventually, when you have that core group, especially with a young guy like Rondo, there's going to be personality conflicts eventually. You have the three veterans, Pierce, Allen, and Garnett, who were ready at that time to win a championship. And Garnett was only 19, 20, 21, 22 years old at that point. He's in that range. Now he's 25, 26. It's his team. It really is his team now.
Well, let me ask you this question, because this is something that we always talk about. We always bring it up. The system player, the system, the guy that is in certain teams, and, is Rondo, in your opinion, is Rondo a great player, or is Rondo the beneficiary of being in a system that tailors to his needs?
That's a tough one, because I think playing for Doc Rivers is something that helps him. Doc's a very caring individual as far as, being able to adjust his coaching style. And that's something that doesn't really happen a lot in the NBA. It's the coaching style, this is what we're going to do, and that's it. Whereas Rivers looks at it and says, okay, this is what we have. This is what our strengths are. We don't have a pure shooter like Ray Allen anymore, so we're not going to draw plays for guys to spot up and hit threes. We're going to try and get to the basket. We're going to have, we'll have Jason Terry. We'll have Courtney Lee. Just though you said you weren't 100% familiar with their roster.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at it right now, actually.
Yeah, they just signed Leonardo Barbosa, which I think is a great pickup. Brandon Bass, Avery Bradley, who's going to be starting this year. Deontay Christmas, who I don't think is going to make the roster. They put in Jason Collins, former New Jersey Nets star Jason Collins, wearing good old number 98. Downs, who's going to be cut probably within the next couple weeks. They have Garnett.
Well, they got Miracek. He's only 99.
Yeah. Those high numbers are what number you want to wear. No, I'm sorry. That's either taken or retired. You have Garnett. And I think one of the key guys that we keep forgetting about was back this season, who didn't play this past year, was Jeff Green. And Jeff,
was a big keeper. Jeff, because he is a talented player. I'm still not sure what Oklahoma City was thinking when they got rid of the guy. I mean, I know they were loaded, but I would have probably given them harder.
It's not the fact that they what they were thinking. Is at the time what Oklahoma OKC had at the time is they had a lot of tweeners between guard forward, guard forward, guard forward. They didn't have any bulk. Their guarding center was Nenad Krstić, and you and I both know Krstić is more of a top out power forward type center. You know what I mean? Like he's more of an agile guy. Where you have an opportunity to get Kendrick Perkins, you take it because he's a banger. He can go in there, rebound the ball, and put it back up there when you need to. That's what they
Isn't
were thinking.
Isn't Serge Ibaka their center right now? Like, didn't they have him to begin with, or was that another trade pick?
Jeff Green was originally drafted by the Boston Celtics. He was a first-round pick, and they traded him to Seattle in part of the Ray Allen deal. And then when Seattle made the transition, and so then they went and got him back. Then they, of course, since you're a Syracuse guy, they picked up Chris Joseph. Rob Cruz is probably
Fab
Mello. Rob Cruz is probably a big cut. Courtney Lee, I think, is a good pickup. Solid swingman, can come off the bench, give you maybe about 10 to 12 points if needed. You got Fab Mello, like you just talked about. Darko Milicek, like Mike just said, I think it's a solid pickup. It's a very, very, very good pick. Very good pickup for them. You have Paul Pierce, Rondo. Jamar Smith is a guy who probably will end up getting booted out of there, too. Sullinger, Terry, and Wilcox. Like I said, they put themselves in a situation where they have depth. Now, let's switch over. Obviously, Mike does the play-by-play for the Brooklyn Nets. Would have loved to talk a little bit more about his broadcasting career as well, but also break down some more of the Nets and the Celtics. But if you look at the Nets roster, you have Andre Blatch. They re-signed Keith Bogans, who's a decent swingman. Marshawn Brooks is probably going to be their sixth man. They signed a non-guaranteed deal for Josh Childress, who I think was, because he was so highly touted and picked up so early in the first round of the 05, I think it was the 05 draft, the 04 draft, I'm sorry. He was drafted 2004-2005. Never fulfilled any of his potential. Went over to play in Russia. Was amnestied by the Phoenix Suns and signed on with Brooklyn. Steven Dennis is going to get cut. Reggie Evans, they brought in to help bring in some depth. They gave Chris Humphries a ridiculous contract, $12 million a year.
Is I guarantee you when the season ends, he'll probably be the one guy where you'll say, if you're a Net fan, has probably earned his money.
Yeah, because he's a banger. He'll go in there, he'll rebound the ball. He'll be right. He will do exactly what you need him to do. Are you okay, though, with Joe Johnson making $19 million? Making more than
I didn't sign that contract and I didn't take it. So someone gave it to him, so someone was happy paying him that amount. I would have never given Joe Johnson that amount.
I would never have either. Brooke Lopez is making 13. Are you happy with that contract?
If he was making Humphrey's cash.
Whose money I'd be happy if he was making, and this is the honest truth. I'd be okay if he had Wallace's $9 million, maybe even less, maybe about $7 million. And the reason why is
when you draft a big guy that early in the draft, man, they expect to get paid. And listen, they try to get rid of this guy for so long anyway because. Seven footers who can only get 7 rebounds a game are not really welcome in the NBA. I mean, look at Eddie Curry. I like Brook Lopez. I like his game. I don't think he's a star by any sense of the imagination, but he's more than serviceable. I think when you have a Chris Humphries in there, it makes dealing with the fact that he's only probably going to get 7 rebounds a game more tolerable. Having Reggie Evans in there who does nothing but rebound makes him more tolerable. So as long as you know what you're going to get out of Brook Lopez, which is probably a solid 18-7 with, steady defense and at least a hint of a perimeter game, I think you'll live with that.
I hate to say I agree with that. And, it's funny you just said that too. My issue with Brook Lopez, and remember this is coming as a Nets fan, guy who, you know, remember when he was drafted? And you know I loved that team that year he was drafted with Vince Carter and Devin Harris. They used Lopez more of as a third option. Vince was the number one decoy, and Devin Harris was able to shine through that team. You know, I really liked that team they had with Ryan Anderson and you know, Bobby Simmons. And, you know, you were there with me through some of that. Up until he got hurt midseason, Lee Jung Lin played very well, too, until he got hurt. And then once he had that injury, he was done. but that's, you know, he was averaging like 18-8 before he got hurt. And then he came back, it was a disaster. But I think that...
Let me ask you a question now, though. In your opinion, if Devon Williams is not playing well, if he's not having a great year, will that be a big hindrance on Brooklyn making any kind of real move in the East, in your opinion?
Yes. Here's the reality of it. Their goal was to make sure they can sell. They go into a new building with a team that's somewhat competitive. Can we agree on that?
Oh, yeah, I totally agree on that.
That was their ultimate goal, was to be competitive through their first for their first real season there. And they're going to be that. I think until that point, it looked gloom. You know, for whatever the reason, he didn't go to Dallas. Deron Waves did not go to Dallas. He said Mark Cuban didn't come to the meeting, this and that. So with all that being said, he signed with Brooklyn. He knew that the spotlight was going to be on him. They brought in Joe Johnson. This team is offensively, very, very good team. Gerald Wallace can score when needed. Lopez can score when needed. Actually, I watched a little bit of their preseason games. I know you and I had this discussion, and I even posted something on Facebook about it earlier today, that you can't gauge anything by the preseason. You really can't. But Lopez has looked phenomenal. If Lopez gives you 15 or 16 points a game, minimum, and Humphreys can give you 12 and 10, and Wallace can get you about 15 and 10, this team's going to be competitive. And, you know, whatever these guys come off the bench and give you, this team's going to be up there, but they're not a complete... I still like the Celtics over them, because like Mike said, the defense is going to be the key for Brooklyn. Boston, I'm not worried as much about them down the road. Like, I still see at the end of the Eastern Conference, if healthy, Boston will be there against Miami. And that's if Miami stays healthy, too. LeBron James can break his leg first game of the season, and then it'll be over. You know what I mean?
I have to give you credit, though, because this was not a tune you were singing for the longest time. You were very, very hesitant to give Boston any kind of credit. So the fact that you've changed your tune on this, I find promising. I think that, you know, I'm starting to...
You see, that's home for me. He can make it, by the way.
I'm actually now, in your vote from last year, I'm not as sold on the Celtics as a lot of other people are. I don't know if it's because of the age. I'm not really sure, but I just don't know if they're as good as people are making them out to be. I think there might be a little bit of issue up there this year. You know, I can't tell you I have any solid reasoning for that other than I just have a feeling. But I'm not as sold on Boston this year as you are.
By the way, Nick Friedel, he covers the Chicago Bulls for ESPN in Chicago. He responded to a tweet that was sent to him about winning sells tickets. Then he said he used to think that, and then I covered D. Rose and saw a difference. You think people would line up to buy Al Harrington jerseys? He brings up a valid point.
Bucket? No one's buying now. No one's buying Bucket's jersey. Come on. Is he still playing?
Al Harrington? Yes, he is. He's now the newest member of the Orlando Magic.
Oh, man. By the way, I don't know if you just saw this, but it looks like the Jets
landed. Sanchez was taken down, lost the ball. And like I said, remember that thumb in the Jets fan's eye we were just talking about?
Oh, yeah.
There it is.
But by the way, did you like the fact how we did not interrupt the flow of the conversation to continue to bring that up?
I was impressed very, very, very much. Congrats. you're growing. you're growing.
Game
match
may not be over, though, actually. It looks like they're giving Sanchez one more chance.
Yeah. Real quickly, just to finish out this conversation about the Nets, and then we'll move on, just to hit one or two more NBA topics, and then we're going to switch gears. I'm not thrilled with this. You know, anytime you have Jerry Stackhouse and they said he's going to be a key contributor on the team, I'm hoping they're saying in the locker room and as a leader for the young group, for the young guys, because Jerry Stackhouse is a little past his prime. Can we agree or disagree on that?
I didn't know Jerry Stackhouse was still playing. That's my response
yes.
to that question.
Yes. Really quickly, as a Knicks fan, I'm just looking at the Knicks roster real quick. Carmelo Anthony, Oscar Belfield, Ronnie Brewer, Marcus Camby, Tyson Chandler, Chris Copeland, Raymond Felton, Jason Kidd, Steve Novak, Pablo Pregoni, Amon Shumpert, John Truma, Henry Sims, Chris Smith, J.R. Smith, Amari Stoudemire, Kurt Thomas, Mikael Thompson, Rasheed Wallace, and James White. Obviously, we know some of those names are not going to be there on opening night. I do not like the makeup of this team.
Of course you don't like the makeup of this team. Really?
Let me give you a real reasoning for that, or are you going to just call me a hater?
It's going to be you're hating.
I'm not hating. I've moved past the hating stage in my life. I'm just a person who likes to share.
I would say this, and I think you have to give me this. This roster is not any worse than what the Nets have right now. And if you are feeling confident about the Nets being good, you have to feel confident about the Knicks being good.
Okay. I'm going to give you that one hesitantly. How's that? Is that okay?
All right. But that's what I'm just saying, though, because this roster is not any worse than the Nets roster. I've been watching here and there of the preseason games. Because obviously, look, preseason doesn't mean anything. The game the other day the Knicks played against Toronto, I don't even think any of the important players got in for more than like 5 minutes. So, be that as it may.
Do you want to do a quick lightning round? We'll go like a minute each on a couple NBA stories, and we'll just quickly just run through them real quick. We'll do that.
Sure, why not?
Okay, real quick. Oklahoma City, not sure they're going to re-sign James Harden. Agree or disagree?
I agree. I wouldn't sign him either.
Okay. I think if you had a new Serge Ibaka and Cephalosius or James Harden, not for nothing, James Harden, scoring shooting guards in this league are a dime a dozen. I think you can get him. Harden's okay, but I don't think he's a real guy you want to break the bank for. I think there's a lot more people.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. If they have any hesitation, they shouldn't even hesitate. They shouldn't even do it. You have Kevin Durant. You have Ryan Westbrook there. I mean, look, you don't need any more scoring. I mean, you should be able to – that should be enough to help you with the defense that they play. Having Harden is just a luxury at this point. I would actually think about trading him to get other pieces.
Amar Stoudemire out 2 to 3 weeks with a cyst in his knee. Should the Knicks be concerned?
I would be. I know there's some people that say that, you know, this could probably be beneficial because it will unblock the court for Melo, but as a fan, I would be concerned because you need to get these guys playing together, and if they're not playing together, it's just going to make the season just that much more of a hindrance when he does come back. So they need to be out there right away. So this is going to be a problematic time for the Knicks, but hopefully they'll be able to get through it.
Greg Popovich says LeBron got better at tuning out his critics. Do you agree or disagree?
I don't know if he got better. He just happened to win. And when you win, everyone thinks that you're tuning them out and when people question your mental toughness. So, you know, let's just see what happens. I think we overplay that hand. I think the media, you know, people that have to deal with the media overplay these mental toughness games. You know what? When you win, you win. When you lose, there's no rhyme or reason to it. You know, mistakes happen. When you win because you made great plays. When you lose, you made a stupid play. Well, I, as far as tuning out people, that, you know, no one knows for sure.
Golden State Warriors lose Stephen Curry out again with a right ankle injury. Is this something that they should be worried about since he has had a series of ankle injuries?
Yes, because this is a kid that, in my opinion, might be the smoothest shooting guard out there right now, or point guard really right now, depending on where he's going to play. But the guy has just got a sweet stroke, and it's just a shame that he has these foot problems and ankle problems because, you know, they got to decide if they want to sign him to a long-term deal. And then, you know, when you have an athlete like of that talent and you're just not sure if he's going to be able to hold up, you know, it's bad news for both him and bad news for the Warriors because, you know, you just don't know what you want to do. You know, you lose this guy because you don't think he's going to be able to hold up, but you sign him, and then you always have to deal with the fact that he's going to be out all the time.
I just saw this note on Twitter, and I think I'm going to send you know, you and I are, like, right sort of with each other here. I'm going to send you this headline that I just saw through Twitter. We'll take a look at it real quick so we can react to it. Sheridan Hoops, Chris Sheridan, good guy, used to work for ESPN, very knowledgeable, has his own website, Sheridan Hoops. You can go to SheridanHoops.com. Ray Allen explained why he and Rondo didn't get along. Apparently there was a trade that almost happened that brought Amari Stoudemire to the Boston Celtics back in 2009. Definitely want to go into this a little bit more with you. If you're the Boston Celtics, are you really disappointed right now that you lost Ray Allen at this point?
Honestly, I would tell you externally, no. Internally, you probably are. But I think it was at the point where they pretty much decided that Rondo was the big part of this team. Like, he was the guy that was running this team. So when you decide that that's who your main guy is going to be, you kind of have to get rid of the pieces that are not going to help that along. So I guess in letting Ray Allen go, well, you know, which really they really didn't have much of a choice because I don't even think they even had a chance to counter any offer. You know, they probably wish they could have, but I'm sure they're probably not, like, outwardly concerned, but inwardly within the organization, I'm sure they're a little concerned. But at the same time, they picked Rondo. They want to build through Rondo, so I guess they have to kind of just deal with this sort of thing.
Well, I'll read the quote for you. Allen said at the time, Ainge and Rivers didn't get along with Rondo, so I called him and I told him, hey, they're supposed to be trading us to Phoenix because you and Danny and Doc don't get along, Allen said. So whatever you can do. So for some reason, I guess he thought that I had something against him or there was some issues, and I had no issues with him. I won with him. Now Allen says if Rondo had an issue with him, that's on him. So apparently the deal was supposed to be Ray Allen and Rajon Rondo for Barbosa and Stoudemire. I personally would have thought that would have been a really bad trade. I thought it would have benefited Phoenix, obviously. It would have been very interesting to see Rondo and Nash play on the same team. But
let me ask you a question. Wasn't Rondo originally in Phoenix?
Rondo was, well, yeah, that's where he was at the time.
Hmm.
No, Rondo was traded. I think Rondo was traded from Phoenix on draft night.
I'm almost positive that the Phoenix Suns had actually drafted him and then he was traded.
And also, by the way, I wanted to let you know, it's Dwight Howard making his Laker debut tonight. So that's something to keep an eye on. I think that's it with the NBA. I think we're pretty good now. I think we've done our share. I think it's time to move on. I think that's a good pivot point. Agreed? That's what we call it when we're switching topics here in the radio biz. We're pivoting.
Why not?
You like that? I'm educating you. By the way, 760-283-0846. Talk to Jose and Randy. Real Sports Talk Radio is on Facebook. You can check out. We have to, you know, let's take a minute here, Jose. Let's educate each other. Let's educate our audience. What's happening now with the Pick Six? Because now, you know, you and I now have this new way. We are doing the show a little bit differently. Not that you guys need to know how we do our setup. I've usually done the show with Skype, and we've always had some little technical issues. For some reason, my computer's telling me that Skype's not loaded on my computer when I'm looking at Skype loaded on my computer. So we're doing things a little different. I'm using my cell phone as the main tool, and it seems to be working out a lot smoother tonight. Agree or disagree?
I can hear you quite clearly, so yeah, I would totally say it's working tonight.
So I have a feeling this is what we're going to be doing from now on. We were supposed to do the picks this week, audio version, and putting it on the main page and putting it on our Facebook page and doing everything, so on and so forth. This week, we didn't do that, and we didn't even pick a bonus game.
No.
What we did discuss was we were talking about whether we were going to what our wager is going to be. We can talk about the games all day if we really need to, but we haven't talked about what the wager is going to be. So, by the way, Jacksonville 21, Brooklyn 19. So I lost that game. So anyways, back to you. Back to you.
I think you got that wrong, but...
Oh, no, look at that. The change. 26-0. How did that work?
Oakland won in overtime, I believe.
Oh, beautiful thing. Okay,
you got
excellent,
lucky.
Yes.
You got lucky.
I got lucky is right. Let's keep that lead alive, baby. Really quick, the game I lost today was the Tennessee-Buffalo game by 1 point.
Yes.
I won the Cleveland game. Thank you for picking that game. And then you and I are both still waiting on the Monday night game.
Yes, right now
and
I'm 5-0, and I think you're 4-1.
4-1. So, I pretty much have a 4-game lead, if that's correct.
Yeah. So no matter what happens tomorrow, I will gain at least a game on you in the standings right now.
Right. And if we both lose a game, it's not good. Like we both have the same. We both have Chicago.
Yeah.
Looking at next week's schedule.
Ooh, maybe we should do this now, huh? Are you getting froggy on me?
No. I think what we can do right now is we can whet the appetite of our audience.
Oh.
I don't know how dirty that really did sound, and I apologize if that offended anybody. It's all his fault.
You're talking crazy now, man.
You're crazy, man. You're just plain crazy. Going into week 8, let's preview the games. Let's look to see who's got a bye. Houston, Baltimore, Cincinnati, and Buffalo all taking the week off because they're lazy. And we have Thursday night's game, Tampa versus Minnesota.
My God, how boring of a game is that going to be?
I feel so like it's like the NFL Network sitting there saying, all right, can we have this one? No, we can't have that one. All right, how about this one?
I will say this. The games that you think are going to be bad for Thursday actually end up being pretty good, and the ones you think are going to be good end up being pretty bad. So,
well, yeah,
it's funny
you just said that, too, because you and I both looked at the schedule earlier in the week this week and said, man, this is going to be a tough week of football. But today it's some great games.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you never know. You know, you have to base things on what you're seeing. You know, look, Chris Johnson just came out of nowhere, you know, and had an old Chris Johnson game. I mean, is he going to keep doing this? I hope so. But, I mean, you would not have. There's no way you could have expected that. You know, you would have been happy if he had 100 yards for a touchdown. He almost doubled on both accounts.
Okay, real quickly, I just want to real quickly go through some of these games. We'll do this for another couple minutes. We'll check on Twitter, see if there's any news. Then we'll hit it up to the MLB, and we'll do our sound off, and we're out of here. Listen, real quickly, go down to the games. We're not gonna pick from the games for each other yet. We'll do that on either Thursday or Friday when we do our podcast. But why don't we pick the three? We'll pick three games we can agree on now. I think we both agree that the Giants Dallas game is in that three.
You know what? I think I want to stay away from that for a while. But let's keep it in the circle. But maybe we can pick another three different games. So let's keep that in the thought process. A game I was actually looking at, which I think might be very, very good now. How about Washington at Pittsburgh?
Washington at Pittsburgh is going to be very interesting. I'm also looking at the Atlanta-Philadelphia game, too. That's going to be a fun game. Also, you know what? For some odd reason, my eyes are drilled onto the NBC game of New Orleans at Denver next week.
I just saw that, too, and I'm like thinking, my God, how many times is Peyton Manning going to be on regular TV?
Yeah, it feels like every single week. And the Monday night game is not bad either, the San Francisco-Arizona game.
That's going to be a game for first place in the NFC West.
Yeah, and the final score is going to be 7-3. That's,
probably.
and it's that bad. Oakland and Kansas City always have a great rivalry. The Miami Jets game I think will be a fun game to do. I think that Miami's going for revenge. I think they'll probably get it. The Jets are in a free fall right now. You know that.
Well, they play competitively today, so you know what? I give them a lot of props. They played a lot better than I think any of us would have expected them to play. So, you know, they took them to overtime.
I agree with you 100%. I'm sorry I interrupted you, but New England is playing St. Louis in Wembley Stadium.
That game in London?
Yeah, it's in London.
Oh, my God. You know what? I might actually, you know what? If we're going to pick that game, I might be intrigued enough to pick St. Louis.
I want to tell you something about New England. They needed that win today. As badly as the Jets needed it, they needed it just as much. No.
I tell you, watching that game today, I got to tell you, Randy, New England doesn't impress me. And if the Jets can figure out a way to get some sort of consistent offense going, they have enough to at least win that division.
Real quick about what you just said about them, Skip Bayless just tweeted, the Patriots can easily be 7-0, and that's so true.
Yeah, but they could easily be 0-7, really. Not maybe not 0-7, maybe more like 2-5.
Well, that's true, too. Derek A. Coleman, as Derek Coleman, the NBA player. Bill Belichick has an exact script for every conference. He's so bad. It's so true. And by the way, only other thing NBA-wise, NBA News Flash, at NBA News Flash just tweeted, since Chris Paul recruited Jamal Crawford to the Los Angeles Clippers, one can believe that he's going to re-sign long-term with the team. He didn't sign the extension this past summer because he wanted to be able to get to the end of his contract so he could sign the max extension. That's the reason for that. Okay. Real quick, as far as the schedule next week, we'll definitely pick the games. I'm not worried about it. BCS rankings just came out. Alabama 1, Florida 2, Kansas State 3, Oregon 4, and Notre Dame 5. Do you agree with the top 5, yes or no?
I don't necessarily agree with that top 5. I don't understand how Oregon drops, considering that they won as well. They play in a tougher conference. The way I would have it is actually Alabama 1, Oregon 2, Kansas State 3, and Florida 4, Notre Dame 5. I'm not a believer in Notre Dame just yet. I mean, they're literally like, these next couple of weeks are going to be big for them, but my championship game right now would be Alabama, Oregon.
Okay, and just to go finish off the top 10, LSU 6, Oregon State 7, Oklahoma 8, Ohio State 9, USC 10. To be honest with you, you know, USC, I'm glad to see them bounce back. They fought through all those, all the penalties they had to because of the Reggie Bush situation. I'm happy for them. It's good for them. I don't think this team is going to be as battle-tested enough to go to a national championship, obviously. I think give another year or two and maybe one or two strong recruiting classes, I think they'll be there.
I'll say this. If the right pieces fall into place, they could easily challenge Alabama. But for me, as far as I'm concerned, it's Alabama and whoever's playing for number 2 at this point. I just don't see anyone knocking off Alabama. If Alabama does get knocked off, though, there will not be the only other SEC team, which is the big conference in college, that can really challenge for the spot would be Florida then at that point. So right now, to me, it's Alabama or Oregon.
Do you have a problem with there being, let me see, let me count them here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams in the top 25 with 2 losses? Well, meanwhile, you have teams at 7-0 like Rutgers and Ohio and Mississippi State. Are you have issues with that?
No, because it depends on what conference. You know, like Rutgers is 7-0 but they're in the Big East. You know, no one has any respect for the Big East at this point. It's been better than it has been in the last couple of years, but you know, you would definitely take a team with 1 loss and maybe even 2 losses, depending on what 2 losses it was, from the SEC over a team from the Big East that was undefeated. I mean, just would. So I don't necessarily have a problem with it. I do agree, though, that in college football, especially, when you're undefeated, that is a big thing, and you should have, you know, there should be more stats put on that. But I don't have a big problem with it right now. Ask me in a couple more weeks, and I'll tell you if I still agree with that.
And just to finish off our flash round, let's go into Major League Baseball, which is some news and notes. The Boston Red Sox made a trade for a manager.
That was big.
You heard me correct. Yeah, I don't understand. I just don't understand it, but that's okay. Apparently, in baseball, you can trade for managers and assistant coaches, and the world is a better place. I don't get it.
It's not the first time it's happened,
like,
though. So I'm still trying to get the exact moment, but I believe actually relatively within this time there was another manager that was traded for, or there was conversation. I want to say the Dodgers were involved in this in some. But there was a situation that came up with that where there was compensation made for a manager.
Great quote here from David Ortiz on the trade. Red Sox designated hitter David Ortiz, a pending free agent, also spoke highly of Rafael's hiring. To be honest with you, there is something about John that they can see because they've been chasing John for the last couple of years. Ortiz told Joe McDonald of ESPN Boston, I love John. John is my main man, even when he was the pitching coach.
You know what this all speaks to, by the way, Randy? Not to cut you off, but this all speaks to the fact that, once again, ownership should have never gotten involved with the hiring of Bobby Valentine. They should have let their baseball people pick the guy they wanted. If they would have let them do that, they would have not had the season they had this past year.
Just a little bit more from Ortiz, but I don't know if it's fair for him to walk into this situation that we are in right now. Hopefully everything goes well and he can change things around. He's up for the challenge and what he's going to be bringing to the table. Hopefully everything goes great. I know things don't go the way he expected in Toronto, and hopefully it works out for him here. So, obviously, he's got David Ortiz's vote. Oh, and by the way, they sent shortstop Michael Valles to the Jays and received journeyman reliever David Carpenter in return, as well as the manager. I think it's more funny that you can trade for a manager. I thought, like, obviously they're just giving compensation because he was under contract. And, again, it's funny. It's funny to make fun of for us because I look at it and, like, that's what it really looks like. It looks like, oh, okay, you just traded for your manager. I just think it's funny. I'm moving past this. Do you have anything else on this?
I stand by my quotes from past shows about this. Bad job by the Boston ownership. Just bad job.
Okay. Moving forward, there was another baseball headline this week. It was almost like earth-shattering. Oh, yeah, the Yankees got eliminated from the playoffs. And to be honest with you, Jose, the way this, you know, if you guys go to our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/realsportstalkradio, if you really look at this whole situation, was anyone really surprised that the Yankees were going to get knocked out? I don't think people expected them to be swept. But was anyone really surprised that these issues?
I think the fans were surprised. I think they were. I'm pretty sure that there were people in the media who were surprised that this happened. I think when you cover this team or you're a fan of this team, and to me this has been one of the biggest problems with the Yankees, anyone that's involved with the team, there is an arrogance that comes out, and that arrogance pretty much blinds you to the for the trees to the forest. We all see these problems, but it was kind of like the California Angels earlier this year with Pujols, but yet we had all these bullpen issues. The Yankees have issues, but we refuse to acknowledge them because they're the Yankees. And I think this sort of thinking is what's going to end up being a big downfall for them if they can't snap out of it.
I think their inability to produce runs. We knew this going in that they were a home running team. Their inability to produce runs and to produce results in that standpoint is the part that killed the Yankees. Their pitching was solid, but they weren't deep. You were relying too much on Andy Pettit, who's 40 something years old. It just doesn't work that way.
That's part of the arrogance for me. It's like they think that's part of the thing. It's like they think that these things are going to work out, and they don't. But getting back to the hitting, it wasn't the fact that they couldn't play small ball. It was just the fact that they couldn't get hits when they needed to get hits. Because whether you hit a base, whether you get a single for, you know, to get some runs in, or you drive in runs with a home run, it's just the fact they weren't hitting. That's the end-all, be-all. They weren't hitting, and there was no situational hitting for this team. That's why they blew it.
I think we're with the Yankees. You know, obviously they're going to lose Swisher. They're not going to re-sign him. We'll get on A-Rod in a second. A-Rod, I think he's taking too much of the blame because of who he is. And I like A-Rod. I just don't think he's the player we as fans want him to be. Does that make sense?
No, I agree that, you know, that's how people feel. Like I agree with you on that assessment, that he's not the player that the fans want him to be. But as I said to you, I think people become a little bit jaded. They're asking for more than really what they should be expecting. The guy is 38 years old. I mean, what do you expect the guy to do?
I agree. You get to a point. You get to a point where he's not 20. He's not 20 anymore. He's not 32 anymore. You know, and that was the fault of the Giants, the Yankees, of signing him to that contract. That contract is the death of the New York Yankees, and now they're going to trade him and have to eat a majority of that salary. There's no way. I would be utterly stunned if the Yankees open up spring training and Alex Rodriguez is their starting third baseman.
Well, I'm going to give you a reason why that you shouldn't be stunned and should expect for Alex Rodriguez to be your Yankee starting third baseman. Because who in their right mind is going to take that contract?
Miami.
If you're hoping for Miami, I have a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you, because that's not going to happen. Look, Miami learned the hard way. You do not buy your way out of you don't buy your way into a pennant. And I don't care what anyone tells you. They're not going to trade. They're not going to take a trade for Alex Rodriguez because they're not going to want to put the money. They just got rid of Heath Bell. I'm sure they're going to, you know, they got rid of other guys. You know, they got rid of Hanley Ramirez over the season. They're not taking a big contract like that, especially from a guy who's 38 years old. If he was 34, 33, maybe even 35, I would think maybe, but not at this point. I don't think they can afford to have any more ill will with their fan base.
Well, let me ask you about one team that you think that would probably take a chance because they need a buzz. Do you think the Chicago Cubs would take him on?
No.
Really?
Theo's the GM of that team right now, the president. He is not going to do that, I can tell you right now. You're not going to find a team that's going to take him. You would need to find a team so desperate that was at least relatively close to making a real big push in the playoffs to take him. You're talking about maybe a team like the Dodgers. That's the only team that I could see realistically getting involved in the Alex Rodriguez situation. But I don't even think they want to get involved in this.
I think Alex Rodriguez put himself in a tough situation by being a spectacle off the field. Derek Jeter, whatever lifestyle Derek Jeter lives and has, he does it without being in the press. I think that's the key. A-Rod lives his life openly and outgoing, which is good for him. But
to be fair, let's be fair though. People go out of their way to try to muck up Rodriguez as much as they can. I don't think people go even remotely close out of their way. I guarantee you, if the same vultures that go after Rodriguez went after Jeter, we probably get some stuff on him, too.
I think that's fair. Again, it's so difficult to understand what is going on with A-Rod. And I'm looking to see what is going to happen now as far as what the Yankees are going to do. Jeter went underneath the knife. It was taken care of surgery-wise. It's going to be a long offseason for the Yankees. Real quick, Giants-Cardinals tonight, game 6, what do you got?
Right now, my World Series pick is Detroit Cardinals. I'm hoping that the Cardinals find a way to pull it out. But right now, I believe San Francisco's up 1-0 into the bottom of the second.
Okay. And I guess the other real question I have for you now, are you ready for Sound Off?
Yes.
Okay. You're up first, big man. Go for it. Rant.
Well, I have been so completely and utterly frustrated today from my beginning of my softball game to the ending of the Giant game. That being said, I should be relaxed. I should take solace in the fact that the Giants won. Here's what I got to say, though. I have been laying off Kevin Gilbry and Perry Farrell for a while now. But today, they angered me to no end. What the hell are you doing? If I keep going, I'm going to curse. Let me just say this. Guys, you get paid big bucks to put these players in winning situations. What in the hell are you doing to try to help the other team win? Seriously? Run the ball when you need to run the ball. Throw the ball when you need to throw the ball. Don't blitz a guy who has 4.1 speed in a 40-yard dash and is faster than anyone else in the field when you're holding on to a lead so Eli Manning doesn't have to save your sorry asses from losing another game in the division. I feel good now. Randy?
Better? Better?
I'm still really mad.
You just used a minute. If you want to take another three, feel free.
You know what? I think I would curse, and I don't want to curse. Let me just bring up some other things that have gone on over the week. You know, so instead of ranting, let me just bring up some other things. Again, Alabama, best team in college football right now for me. No questions asked. Right now, like I said, with the World Series, I had Detroit. I had the Cardinals going there as well. We haven't made our pick yet for the World Series because we're still waiting for it to actually, you know, to get the final two teams in, and we'll get into that. I'm sure when next week, because I'm sure we'll know by then. The only other thing I'm really like that's got me like scratching my head is this whole A-Rod thing. Again, I just think people get too crazy. I think they go way out of their mind because we're all in love with Derek Jeter. God forbid Derek Jeter does anything wrong. You know, part of me is kind of in a weird sadistic way. Part of me is kind of glad that you know he did break his ankle because in a way it's like yeah, good for him. Because as much as I hate Derek Jeter, I would never wish injury or anything really bad on anyone, but part of me as being a Yankee hater kind of smiled in the back. I admit that. And you know what? If I'm going to hell, it's not going to be for that. I can tell you that much. And Randy will tell you the same thing right now. It won't be for that comment. But
not only that, but he's real quick, you'll be driving the bus. Just want to let you know.
But my point is that if you're a Yankee fan and if your beef is with Alex Rodriguez right now, you are looking at the wrong person. The only thing I do want to say, though, about the Yankees situation, the Yankees lost the playoff. They pretty much knew that their ticket was written the minute Girardi pinch hit for Raul Ibanez. And I even take it a step further, and I have to give credit to Jimmy Hasbrook on this, who actually said it. The real issue came when Raul Ibanez pinch hit for Alex Rodriguez and was successful. That's when you knew there was going to be a problem. So, not much of a rant this week, except for that Jared tirade from earlier. Oh, Kevin Gilbry needs my foot in his ass. But besides that, Randy, go, because I'm going to get bleeped by the FCC, and I don't want to get you in trouble. So, you have the floor, my friend. I'm done ranting.
Especially since we don't have to worry about the FCC.
Screw you, man, all right? That's my moment.
By the way, just so you know, Jose's rant is brought to you by Upbeat Custom Creations. They bring fame to your name. For more information, go to upbeatcustomcreations.com to bring fame to your name for more information. Okay. Real quick, with me, it's really simple. It's amazing on how we live in this society where the news organizations are breaking news that at times are not even fully accurate. I'm looking back at this whole NBA offseason, and I look at all the different changes and all the excitement that was going on, and now we're going to be prepared to go into baseball hot stove season. For those who don't know what Major League Baseball hot stove season, it's like NFL free agency NBA free agency. They make programs on it on all the teams' local networks, giving you the up-to-date news. The one, it seems like, it all eyes end up on the New York Yankees. And right now, everybody and their sister, including us, well, including me, are fully expected that the Yankees are going to make a move. And when your general manager, who signs Alex Rodriguez, I was about to say their top guy, but who signs Alex Rodriguez, who didn't sign, I'm sorry, the GM did not sign Alex Rodriguez. The owner did. So the general manager didn't sign Alex Rodriguez, and he's coming out to the public saying he's not untouchable. We're looking to make a move. And meanwhile, A-Rod is in there saying, well, I'm going to stay in Yankee for the rest of my career. I think, as members of the media, we are quick to break the story, quick to jump to the conclusion, and quick to point the fingers so we can convince not only the fans but ourselves that we know better than everybody else. I think in this situation, the situation has to play out. Yankee fans are emotional. The Yankee staff is emotional. I think 3 weeks from now, this is not going to be as big as a story anymore. The Yankees' main focus right now should be retooling their lineup, building up their pitching staff, getting younger in the outfield, and being prepared that the captain is going to be stepping away within the next year or two. Because what they have right now is just not cutting.
That was beautiful, man. That was beautiful.
Is it tier quality? Tier quality?
You know what? It's definitely better than my shambling rant. That's how mad I was today.
You were an angry child. With that being said, I do think there is one other topic we need to talk about. We really didn't dive into much about RG3 today. And the Giants-Redskins game, I thought, was pretty much... I think right now, I don't give Robert Griffin III the credit yet because I want to see him do it on a consistent basis. Today's game from both Eli and RG3 were turnover, 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 turnover. I think the veteran experience and the history of the Giants sort of kicked in. I do like the Redskins' makeup for the future. RG3 is going to have to break that proverbial mold I have put him in. Not that he's worrying about what I'm saying at all. But you know what I'm saying. He is a running quarterback, and the success of the African American running quarterback has had in the NFL, which has not been a lot of success. I was watching the Giant game over in Clifton at the Shannon Rose today, and this conversation came up about RG3, and this guy kept on saying, well, what about Donovan McNabb? What about Randall Cunningham? What about Michael Vick? They all had success. I said, yes, they did, but they didn't win a Super Bowl. I think for RG3, Cam Newton, Michael Vick, even Russell Wilson, to break this mold and to break this trend, they have to win a Super Bowl. Agree or disagree?
I think you're asking a lot. I mean, there's so many great quarterbacks that never won a Super Bowl. Again, though, I have to take some umbrage with what you're saying about RG3. RG3 is not a running quarterback. RG3 is a quarterback that just happens to be very fast. I'm telling you, look, I have the numbers in front of me. And a lot of this is because I think Shanahan is holding him back. 20 for 28, 258 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. Sacked 3 times, but... a guy like that is going to get sacked because he's always moving around in the pocket. But he also ran 9 times for 89 yards. So I don't think he's just running for the sake of running. He runs when he has to. I don't think there was any – I think Washington only had 3 design running plays. But he's not a guy that looks to run. He's a guy that runs when all other options are out. This guy can throw the ball. And I'm telling you right now, if I'm the NFC, and in the NFC East in particular – I'm very worried about this because this has all the makings of a Donovan McNabb going all over again when he started out with Philadelphia. A rough first year, little bit of improvements, but as he kept going, he got better and better and better. They just need to build this team around him. And right now, I'm impressed with what they have right now.
Okay, Jose, real quickly, www.twitter.com/AngryJose or at AngryJose15. I am Arzelia BSP. You can go to Facebook Back Sports page, and don't forget to go to backsportspage.com. My friend, we are done.
Good day
to you, my friend, but our show's over.
Nice.
We technically have 10 seconds left. So with that being said, Jose, we will be back on Thursday or Friday. I think we'll make an official announcement for our picks this week, and we will see everybody then. For now, the show is over. You may go in peace.
Take it deep.